enemy of God. We'll be hearing that in the coming days as well here on the radio. So, okay, let's get into the word now. Again, Monday and Tuesday this will play, and this is Psalm 91.
Hey, okay. Psalm 91. God before me. You know, personally, I've wrestled for years over what Bible translation to study with or to read aloud and for public reading and for preaching and teaching the Word of God. And as I was telling Luann, who stepped out now, but I was telling her the other day, week ago now, that the strangest thing happens to me sometimes when I open up my King James Version Bible. It's like all of a sudden this giant valve gets opened in heaven, while at the other end of the pipe, down here on earth, is my skull. And just picture, you know, up here, this great big crank, and he just cranks it. Then all of a sudden, there's this mighty rush of heavenly insight from El Elyon himself directly to me. And many times, it results in what you're going to sit under, and that is a sermon. Notice I say sit under. I didn't say hear, but sit under. Because I don't want you to just hear. I want the word of God to go right into those two ears, and I want you to hear whatever word it may be, and then do what it says. And if you do what it says, oh boy, if you do what it says, and today's a simple one. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 91. This has got to be my first Old Testament sermon in many, many years. I just, minding my own business, opening up my King James verse. It's like God's telling me he's pleased when I use a King James Version. Especially. All right, Psalm 91. I think the whole thing is on the handout as well. Now on the handout, I believe this is New King James, but reading through here in King James. Now God wants you to see today that if you set your love upon Almighty God, in obedience to the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Even if you fail at that, I fail all the time. I fail at loving God with all my heart. I fail at loving my wife. I fail at loving my daughter. But a righteous man, you see, picks himself up seven times and dusts himself off. And presses on, by golly. We press on. And the good news here today is you are not alone. Not by a long shot. Someone bigger than you is for you and is on your side. That's good news, isn't it? Now we're Psalm 91. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Darren's been talking a lot this morning about truth. Jesus talks a lot about truth. We're going to look some more at truth this morning. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Okay, so what does he mean? What does this mean? What does this mean today for us? Now, here in this text, King David, the supposed author of Psalm 91, is referring to the most holy place inside the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He's not saying God has feathers, but if you remember, the wings of the cherub covering over the mercy seat there and over the Ark of the Covenant. That's what it means when you see protect you with his feathers or his wings. I found this great testimony in one of my commentaries under the heading Psalm 91, My Psalm. In 1922, in the Western Hebrides, which is an island off of Scotland, a five-year-old lad lay dying of diphtheria. A mucous membrane was forming across his throat, and breathing was becoming increasingly difficult. Now, his Christian mother turned her back on him so that she would not see him take his last breath. At that very moment, there was a knock on the door, and it was her brother-in-law from an adjoining village. He said, "I have come to tell you that you don't have to worry about the child. He is going to recover, and one day God is going to save his soul." So she was distracted and incredulous. "Whatever makes you say that?" Then he explained he had been sitting at his fire reading Psalm 91 when God distinctly spoke to him through the last three verses. Now, this is in Scottish Psalms. "Because on me he has set his love, I'll save and set him free. Because my great name he hath known, I will set him on high. He'll call on me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him still, in trouble to deliver him, and honor him I will. With length of days unto his mind, I will him satisfy. I also, my salvation, will cause his eyes to see." Then the testimony continues. "I was that boy." "I was that boy. God delivered me from death that night. He saved my soul 13 years later. And he has satisfied me with long life." So you will understand why I, speaking of this person, why I refer to Psalm 91 as my psalm. I usually add with tongue in cheek that I am willing to share it with others. I like that. But let me add to that, that we worship the same God as this man does. And what God did for him, God will do for you as well. God is good. This is the character of God. Now back to the Psalm, verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Buckler meaning a defensive weapon used to ward off the attacks and the blows of the enemy, or an enemy. And what did he say would be your shield and your buckler and your defensive weapon? His truth. The truth of God. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, when Pilate asked him if he was a king, he said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Then Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Truth. The truth of God is liberating. The truth of God is freeing. Check out these truths. After each one, we'll say truth. Ready? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Truth. That burden is not on you. Someone bigger and better than you saves you. It's not by works. It's not by how much money you put in that offering plate. It's because God is good. And he chose you before the foundation of the world to save you. And he shows you how much he loves you. He demonstrates his own love toward you. And that while you were still a groveling sinner, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. That's how much he loves you. How about this? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Truth. You see, if you are of the truth, you'll hear his voice. If you're part of this family, you will hear this truth. How about this? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Truth. Kind of makes you want to shout, doesn't it? You know what? If that doesn't excite you, all right, we can't. Something's wrong if that doesn't excite you. Let me say it. Something is wrong. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's got your back. God's called you, chose you, marked you out in advance before he made any of this. God's got your back. This is the only psalm in the whole Bible the devil quotes from. And he is so stupid that he thinks he can misquote the Bible and deceive the Son of God. He is the Word. He wrote the book. Satan quotes this psalm because he doesn't like this. He hates this psalm because this psalm shows you that God has got your back. And we're going to get to all the things that God promises that he will do to you. Naturally, it's conditional. And we'll find out what it's conditional on. Here's one more. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Truth. Write it down. No matter what you do, no matter what you've done, no matter how far short you fall tomorrow, your sins have already been obliterated by the blood. Just like the song this morning, this is how I can get up here and preach to you and know God will use me because we're made clean and white by the blood of Jesus Christ. Makes me a clean vessel and I can stand up here and know God will have no qualms to use me. All right, Psalm 91. One heading I have is in God's care. Verse 3, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That would be what? The traps of the enemy. Satan's traps that he lays out for you, hidden in the leaves. He goes on here, and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. All right. Four things for this type of person not to fear. Number one, night terrors. Come around my house at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and you'll see some night terrors. Horrendous fights with the enemy that I endure. She does. Pastor Darren does as well. Me and Darren got it figured out. It's on every other night. He wakes up feeling great and he prays for me because he knows down the street over there at my house, there'd be some trouble going on. I think a lot of my demons must be geriatric because I get it before midnight. I wake up and I'm sweating and I'm a mess and I look, I said, good Lord, it's 11 o'clock. What are these demons doing out? It's only 11. What is like, is geriatric cauldron meeting? You guys got to be home by midnight or something? Night terrors. Number two. Again, four things this type of person need not fear. Number two, stray bullets. Stray bullets. In the King James or in King David's time, it was the arrow that flies by day. God will make even the stray bullet or wandering arrow to not come nigh thy dwelling, not to come near your house. Number three, COVID. COVID. But perhaps you say, I had COVID. Doesn't God love me? Yeah, but you're still alive. And God was able to take COVID that you got and make you into a super Christian that you are now, impervious to flu and coronaviruses in the future. You see, God took something bad in your life and he turned it around for good. So that you won't be affected the next time it comes around. He can even take bad and turn it around for good. That's what he does. Or the alternative is your work here on earth is done. Like Brother Bill Whitings and Joni Allison and others that you all remember and know and love, of course. But that's a whole other thing there. Because to die and leave this world is far better. To be with Christ is far better, lest we forget. Die and leave this world is far better. People like Joni and people like Bill Whiting, they look down on us, and they are the ones that feel sorry for us, not us for them. They're the ones that feel sorry. They feel sorry for you. You got to endure another day, not us. Eternal life in heaven is the goal, not just a place you end up at. It's the goal of the Christian, lest we forget heaven. Okay, what's the fourth thing not to fear? Destruction, if you're writing. Again, if you were writing, night terrors, stray bullets, COVID. It's pestilence. That's what a COVID is. Remember, that's one of Jesus' signs. Would it be the sign of your coming at the end of the world? Earthquakes, pestilences in various places. That's how you'll know his return is near, is when the whole world is full of COVID. And God says, if you do this particular thing we haven't got to yet, then he's going to watch out over you. And he's going to keep these things from you. And if you die and leave this world, then you're going to a better place. Just like them three Hebrews said, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. But then they said this, but if not, even if you don't, we still won't do this. We still won't bow down and worship your false God. God will deliver us, and even if he doesn't, he's still good. His nature is good. Okay, number four was destruction. And to that, I'll quote the Lord Jesus once again. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He'll keep you from that. Okay, verse 7 of Psalm 91. A thousand may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Wow. Not only 1,000, but 10,000, he says, may fall. Where? Right beside you. Right beside you. But they won't reach you. You'll see it with your eyes. You'll see the reward for all of those whose life and prosperity is found in the here and now instead of the next life. Jesus said, all of those, they have their reward. Now here in verse 9, is the turning point of this psalm. And the author is assuming that you have done that which is required of you. Starts with the word because. And it says, because thou hast made. He's assuming you've done this. If you haven't done it, then this doesn't apply to you. It applies to everyone else that have. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, by the way, I think that ought to be in parentheses, right? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. That is, because you have done this, that is, you have made El Elyon, that great Old Testament name for God, Most High, because you have made El Elyon your dwelling place, meaning this is where you live, this is where you reside, where God is your life, where you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's number one in your life. That's the great commandment of all, Jesus said. The greatest commandment in the face of this world is love God with all your heart. Put him first. Love the Lord.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
For so long I carried the weight of my past, crippled by burdens like stones on my back. I thought I had fallen too far from your grace, but you came and showed me the way. When I was lost, so searching, you were the ground beneath my feet. When I was a blind man begging, you were the eye so I could see. When the smoke was rising up, you were the air. You gave me hope, you gave me something to believe. Now I'm alive and born again, rescued from the grip of sin. God, your love came crashing in and pulled me out of the fire. I'm a survivor. I'm
consider loss for the sake of you.